This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah walhamdulillah wassalatu wassalam ala rasulillah. Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi ta'ala wabarakatuh to all the sisters, or maybe if there's any brothers as well that's joining us today. I would like to welcome you to one of the sessions that we are going to have this week with Being Me and Twins of Faith. Inshallah, today we are going to discuss a topic that I think every year we try to emphasize on this topic, because sometimes either we got confused relating to this topic, or it's something that we are just not clear with. Inshallah, today, alhamdulillah, I'm so happy. Finally, I managed to get Ustazah Alima Ashfaq with us. She is based in the UK. Alhamdulillah, we managed to get her, not in Malaysia, I think it was in Canada that she came for one of the Being Me conference. And finally, that we invited her for Being Me maybe, I think, 5 years ago. And subhanAllah, we sent her anyway, subhanAllah, that time, because due to her pregnancy and everything, she was not able to travel and come attend for the Being Me here. But alhamdulillah, today we are very, very honored that we managed to have her with us, join us today to give a bit of clarification regarding this topic of, especially during Ramadan, or even outside of Ramadan. Is something that not just sisters that should understand, even the brothers, it's an issue that every one of us should understand as well. Would be a topic that we'll discuss on what the things that sisters are able and not able to do when they are going through menses during the month of Ramadan, and even during childbirth. There are certain things that we are not allowed to do. And inshallah, Ustazah Alima Ashfaq will be doing some discussion on this topic. Ustazah Alima Ashfaq has been with, she is one of the instructors for Islamic Open University, IOU, and she is currently based in the UK. And one of the, she is also a founder of the Muslimah Renaissance. I guess it's based in the UK as well. And she actually is, I'm not sure it's currently happening, but she has a conference running going on as well in the UK right now. If there's anyone here that's based in the UK, maybe you can have a look at Ustazah Alima social media pages. Without further ado, I would like to invite Ustazah Alima Ashfaq, and inshallah we'll discuss on this topic. Assalamualaikum.
Waalaikumsalam warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
How are you?
I'm really good, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Inshallah, I would not want to take more of your time. Let's just go ahead with this topic, inshallah.
So we'll start. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah wa sahbihi wa salim wa man wala. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul uqdata min lisani wa yafkahu qawli. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in the Quran, and I want you to think about these verses deeply. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah, Ya ayyuhallazina amanu kutiba alaykum usiyamu kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqoon. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that fasting has been prescribed upon you, and you're fasting right now. And why are you doing it? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you, and he's given you the will and the desire and the motivation and inspiration to fast. Without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you wouldn't be able to do it. You know, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, and this is interesting, he says in Surah Al-Baqarah, in the verse after, he says, وَأَنْ تَصُومُوا خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ, and to fast is better for you if only you knew. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that fasting makes you mindful, and he says that fasting is better for you if only you understand. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gives women their periods, he gives women their menses, meaning despite these ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has something greater for you. He has something better than even fasting during that time. And that's why, even before I go into what you can do and what you can't do, it's really important to build a foundation of self-worth. Build a foundation that this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained, and it's good for me, and it's amazing, and I'm so grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He makes me go through this, because it is a purification. It is a means of coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala based in how you perceive Him. And that's why they say that, you know, Aisha radiallahu anha, the beloved wife of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, you know, she planned for years and years and years to go to Hajj. And this is mentioned in Al-Bukhari. So now she goes to Hajj, she's, you know, getting ready to go to Hajj. And, you know, she's there, and she comes on her periods, she comes on her menses. And she turns around to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, and she's so sad. You know, she's like, you know, subhanAllah. And that's why it's okay to feel a bit down and a bit sad. And we will go deeply into this. But here, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained on the daughters of Adam alayhi salam. He links it to a great prophet. He links it to the first prophet. That this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. You know, it is good for you. And that's why the rulings come in. So a few points which we'll mention. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully aware of your reality. You know, He understands, He appreciates, and He recognizes your desire to connect. And that's important. When you recognize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-aleem, He's all-knowing, He is a sami' al-basir, things become easy. So now you've, you know, accepted this reality. Now it's like, I need to make my plan. I need to have a better understanding. I need to have knowledge on how I can make the most out of this month. And before we continue, one thing I want to mention, all the scholars have said that you need to record your cycle. You need to record your cycle. So even before Ramadan, you know when you're coming on. You need to know. You know, so, you know, there are many apps and, you know, you may have a diary, write it down. And that way, by the way, if you have any issues arise with your cycle, generally scholars check the three cycles beforehand, and they determine, you know, whether you should fast or not, you know, whether you're in istihada or not, whether, you know, if you've gone a few days over, what does it mean? So number one, even before we continue, record your cycle. And if all your life you haven't recorded your cycle, or you've been a bit easygoing with it, now's the time. You know, so number one, record your cycle. Number two, be appreciative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because in Hadith Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is as we perceive Him, you know, and we have to be careful not to project our insecurities on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We also need to be careful that we don't compare ourselves to the brothers. Oh, you know, they're going to Tarawih because, you know, and they're doing this and I don't have the chance to do this, because your body, there is something beautiful and complex taking place. You know, we are the women who do, and, you know, this is, I'm generalizing, and there are women who, you know, may not have children, but on a general level, you know, we are women, we are, you know, we bring the next generation, you know, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has beautifully put a process together for that to happen smoothly. Inshallah. So Ramadan is a month for everyone, okay? And that's important to understand. Ramadan is not just for men. Tarawih is just not for men. Fasting is just not for men. Quran is not just for men. It's for men and women. What you need actually is you need behavioral flexibility. What you need is you need pre-planning. What you need is you need an understanding of your cycle, you know? And it's also for those who are ill, for those who are grieving, for those who, you know, are going through period pains. And you know, subhanAllah, this is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-hakim. And what we do is we take wisdoms. Many women go through extreme period pains, and it's so horrific, you know, subhanAllah, for some women. How merciful is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He's allowing you to take a break from your salah and take a break from your fast. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, you know, al-hadim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so kind, you know. And so redefining how you view Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's generally what it goes down to. So being careful not to project your negative projections upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He is al-wadud. He loves you the most. He has an understanding of your body. And some people will say He gives you a break. You know, he gives you a break. You know, sometimes I think about the brothers, they never get that break. You know why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is holding them to such high standards, you know, in society that they can't afford to have that break. Whereas women are also held to those high standards, but it is within their biology that they need that break for their body, just so you don't get burnt out. So there's a beauty to it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Hakim. And that's why, subhanAllah, it's important to understand that Ramadan has branches that provide nourishment. Ramadan has, you know, it's like a tree. You know, there's, you know, many fruits come from it. And that's why we need to discuss Ramadan is not limited to fasting. Ramadan is not limited to just the Quran. Ramadan is limited to dhikr. And, you know, subhanAllah, I was thinking recently, whenever I don't have Quran on in my house, I feel like I've lost something. I feel like I'm at loss, like I wake up in the morning and 1 hour has gone past and I'm just running around getting the kids ready. And 1 hour later, I'm thinking, where's the Quran? Why have I not put this on? You know, subhanAllah, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, on the day of judgment, he's not just going to look at your hands, he's going to look at your ears, he's going to look at your feet, he's going to see what you walk towards, he's going to see what you saw. There are so many ways to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's multidimensional. You know, and even more so, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I have been sent with good character. You know, I've been sent to establish good character. You know, subhanAllah, that's why some people, they will come in the fast and they're swearing and they're shouting and they're abusing people. And those people, they don't gain nothing from their fasts. You are a person. You have the ability to redefine how other people view their day. You know, and that's powerful and that's beautiful. So we're going to discuss many ways that you can do that. So before we do that, one thing I want to discuss is from the madahi perspective. So, you know, from a Shari'i perspective, there are four imams. You know, you have Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Ash-Shafi'i, which I think a lot of Malaysian sisters are, Imam Malik, Imam Ahmed bin Hanbal. So, you know, each school of thought had different ways to derive rulings, you know, and every single ruling has a goodness within it. So the Hanafi, the Shafi'i, and the Hanbali Madahib, they say that a woman cannot recite. You know, a woman cannot recite the Quran, whereas the Maliki Madhab allows a woman to recite the Quran within her menses. And some of the Maliki scholars even allowed a woman to touch the Mus'haf. And these are valid opinions, right? Some of you may not have heard this. You need to choose that opinion which is within your framework, but it's important for me to mention that to you. You know, otherwise we become like it's everything's black and white. No, Islam is absolutely beautiful, you know, and there is leeway in some areas. So here we went back. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a Shafi'i. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who heals. And you know, that's why, you know, so even when you if you go to Umrah in Ramadan, like you can't do the tawaf. And you know, for many women that's heartbreaking, but you know, subhanAllah, you can sit back and you can remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can do tafakkur, you can reflect upon your surroundings. You know, many times when we think of the Kaaba should be the greatest thing in the haram, but what we have unfortunately is we have all these great big buildings that almost have overshadowed the Kaaba. But you have the ability to sit there and view it and, you know, see the magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there's something beautiful. So once again, completely redefining you know, menses and becoming on your menses. And that's why now a Shafi'i healing. So Asma bint Abi Bakr, she recorded that a woman came to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and she says, you know, what do we do if menses, they fall on our clothes? And this is so interesting. She said, you know, take hold of the garment and, you know, where the blood is and just rub it off and then pray with it in Sahih al-Bukhari. Like just literally, like you've got some blood on your clothes. And that's why, you know, from a cultural perspective, you know, people like if you've been on your period, especially other cultures, they have a tendency to see a woman as dirty, a woman as unclean. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and, you know, we as an Islamic faith, we never, you know, see women in such an awful way. Women are our better, like are the our halves. They are, you know, like our twin sisters. you know, we have to respect them, we have to take care of them. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in his last khutbah, he says, take care of your women, right? Take care of your women. And that's why, so that's what you do. If you come on your period, you just rub it off and you just pray again. And obviously, like, you know, subhanAllah, in our time, because, you know, we have access to washing machines and everything, we should wash our clothes and stuff. But look at that hadith and look how it's not seen as something dirty and it's not seen as something clean. You're just on your period. Just now you can read again, just wash it off and pray again, you know? And you don't have to isolate these women. You don't have to make them feel guilty. You don't have to make them feel bad. Like, it should be part of society. You know, subhanAllah, that's why it's almost absurd that brothers, some brothers, of course, you know, by far, inshallah, the majority, not, this may not be the case, but, you know, to just see menses as something unclean. No, it's just part of a beautiful process of, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why we have, in Mu'jam al-Kabir, Abdullah ibn Umar, he said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no one should touch the Quran unless they are pure. And that's the evidence that the Ahnaf and the Shafi'is and the Hanbalis use. And that's why Shafi'i al-Awza'i and Abu Thawr and Ahmed, they said that the written Quran with, you know, with major impurity, you know, it shouldn't be touched. You know, and that's why some of the scholars have said you can touch it with gloves, you know, if you're reciting. And that's why, you know, and this is interesting, you know, Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, I used to comb the hair of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam when I was on my menses, in al-Bukhari, meaning she was close to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. You know, she was in close proximity. You know, there was nothing about, you know, she's on a menses, we can't be close and we can't have that element of love and the element of appreciation. And this is a beautiful marriage. And many times I think when we look online and we see these notions of marriage which are not real, we either go to the extreme where everything's like hunky-dory and everything's love, or we go to the other extreme where everything's about controlling the women and isolating them to the home. No, the Prophet ﷺ was balanced. He gave the women, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave women the hijab, you know, so they can go into society and, you know, function effectively, right? So now moving on. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ar-Rahman, and I'm always using the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what are you not allowed to do? Women are not allowed to pray their salah. There is nothing wrong with you sitting on the prayer mat and doing your tasbih. Nothing wrong with that. And that's actually a good way to reconnect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I know I'm a mother of three children. And I was telling Sister Mu'adhiba, like, that's what I keep. You know, I have to keep my children inside this room as they go crazy. You know, that's me. It's really difficult to find time for yourself, but you must. You need to have that will and you need to have that desire. And that's why I mentioned at the beginning, you need to record your cycle. And the reason why you need to record your cycle is because if you're reciting the Quran, you know how many days you're going to miss, so you can make up for it, inshallah. Okay, so women, women who cannot pray, we have to understand, like, when we look at Maryam alayhi salam and we look at Hajar and we look at, you know, women in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically mentions these women to raise you up. So now we're going to discuss what is that worship. And I want to just mention a hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Al-Bukhari, once again, where Aisha radiallahu anha, whilst she was in her menses, she would sit in the lap of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She would sit there and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, he would hold her close because he loved her very much. So moving on, what can you do? and what can you do? But before that is one thing about reflection, okay? I'm bringing in loads of hadiths because that's really important. And this one just came to my mind where, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to Aisha radiallahu anha, he said, bring me a mat. And Aisha radiallahu anha, she's like, I'm on my menses. And Sahih al-Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, like, the menses are not in your hand. they're not in your hands, so just bring me the mat, you know, and that's it. Like, you have to and you should go about your business and your worship in the best way. Okay, so now let's do points. So number one is reframe and recognize that everything you experience is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why you need to ask yourself when you're on your menses, it's meant to be that period of reflection. Okay, what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaching me about my body? What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaching me about my experience? You know, I was telling Mu'adhiba, I'm feeling really ill today. And I may actually finish the session a bit early if you don't know Mu'adhiba, because I think I may... I'm not feeling that great, but I want to finish these slides. So ask yourself, and that's what I'm asking myself right now, what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaching me through this sickness? What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaching me through my menses? What am I learning about my body? So everything is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-basir. It is a month to be mindful. And that's why it's the birthplace of your intentions is the heart. So Ramadan is the time to purify your heart, to have a deep look inside and to start polishing it. And that's why in Sahih al-Bukhari, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, verily in the body there is a piece of flesh, like a small piece of flesh, and if it is sound, then the entire body is sound. You know, truly it is the heart. So within this month, you need to ask yourself, how am I purifying my heart? How am I displaying patience with my family members? How am I displaying shukr to my family members? How am I, you know, what's my istighfar like? You know, what's my remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like? And that's why in Surah Al-Ahzab, verse 41, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ ذِكْرًا كَثِيرًا. You know, O believers, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala often. You know, Ramadan is that training ground, and it's for the women who are on their menses as well. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Ghadir. And that's why we've come midway right now. So I don't know how you guys are feeling. Some of you may have been on your menses, some of you may be waiting, is that you need to set lofty, great intentions. And you need to remind yourself that Ramadan is just the beginning. And that's why we get caught up. We think Ramadan, you know, this is where we need to do everything. No, Ramadan is just the beginning. If you haven't recited enough Quran, then post-Ramadan, you should be reciting Quran. You know, and yes, you may not get the reward that you're getting in Ramadan, but you are familiarizing yourself with the Quran, you are working on that relationship. So inshallah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you life and tawfiq, then you'll have a better Ramadan next year. Okay, and remember, make big intentions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though he may not see great actions because you may be a bit restricted with your menses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, he will reward you for the great intentions. Okay, so Al-Mujib, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is so close. So Ramadan is a time of dua. If you haven't set your dua list, make that dua list, okay? And it doesn't have to be. I think what we do is we become so caught up with long, complex duas. Just make three. Just make three, and you know, you don't even have to write them down. Just every time you get that chance, you know, make those du'as and go in the Quran and find du'as that work for you. You know, like you have Asiya alayhi salam, Rabbi ibni li indaka baytan fil jannah, and La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. Like these du'as, they're already in the Quran. They will benefit you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-wahhab. So this is a month of sadaqah. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was generous anyway. But in Ramadan, he was the most generous. So once again, if you have written your cycle down, maybe in those 3 to 5 to 7 days, you can be giving sadaqah every single day. You know, and you're making up, and that's your beautiful intention. I can't pray and I'm not reciting the Quran because I follow that opinion, but I'm going to do something amazing. You know, I'm going to give a sadaqah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-kareem. Reflect upon the Quran. And that's why a sister came to me and she said to me, she's like, every year I start the Quran and then I never complete it because I listen to a lecture and they're like, you need to understand every single verse that you're reading. And I'm like, subhanAllah, I get that point. But this Ramadan, in Ramadan, complete your recitation. achieve that goal, because that goal, you know, it will carry you till the next Ramadan. You know, achieving that goal will benefit you greatly. So recite the Quran, and then get, when you get the chance, listen to lectures. You know, listen to good, amazing lectures, and, you know, try and connect with your Quran a bit more. And then we have to gain knowledge. Once again, that can be done through your local halaqat. You know, there's usually reminders after Taraweeh. So go, and if you can't go to the masjid, then listen to lectures on YouTube. We are so blessed. You know, alhamdulillah, we have access to so much. So this is your chance to go and, you know, increase yourself in knowledge. And I'm telling you something on a personal basis, knowledge completely, like, changed me, you know, subhanAllah. And it was actually in Ramadan, someone gave me a lecture of Sheikh Muhammad about regret, and I was only 15, and I started listening to it. And that is where this desire to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was born. So find something that touches your heart and allow it to propel you spiritually. Okay, so we have al-bar, you know, to be, al-bir is to be at the service of people. So be at the service of your family. And then women are generally at the service of their families. So if you have any brothers here, then work together. You know, work together. If you're praying Taraweeh every single day, there's no harm in, like, taking a step back and, you know, taking your wife to Taraweeh whilst you take care of the children. You know, that's wonderful, and it is actually very beautiful, you know. And that's why, subhanAllah, I haven't prayed Taraweeh in the masjid for, I'd say, 4 or 5 years, and I'm very content with that. You know, I have 3 young children. I know my time will come later, so I'm not going to allow myself to become despondent. Oh, I can't pray Taraweeh. No, like, be whatever decision you make, be content with it and glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you have that opportunity to pray at home. And that's beautiful. And then do dhikr, increasing the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do your hamd, do your istighfar, you know, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through his du'as, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase you. And they say that the only thing that changes du'a is qadr. The only thing that changes qadr is the du'a, and du'a is a form of dhikr. So increase it any time you get time. And, you know, subhanAllah, like, the last few years, I've completely focused on the Qur'an as my goal. And I was saying to my husband, you know, whenever I'm walking, I've just got Qur'an on my lips. Like, I'm just saying stuff. I don't even really know what I'm saying, but all I know is I'm reciting some Qur'an. And that's because you, like, you put your foot down and you said, I want to connect with this beautiful book. So engage in dhikr, and also make a conscious choice not to engage in sin. We all sin. We all do stuff that we're not proud of. This Ramadan, make that intention that you're going to stop one thing for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you're doing it purely for Him. So, you know, make your life easy for you. So, inshallah, Mu'adhiba, if it's okay, I'll stop there. I hope I've clarified a lot of things. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, wa astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.
Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah khair. Is it okay if you can answer only, there's one question here. Yeah. She needs a clarification with. I'll just put the question on the screen, inshallah. She says here, Assalamualaikum Ustazah. I have gone for a procedure to reduce my irregular bleeding. Sometimes I will not get my period, but at times I get it, but it's only for a day, but comes back like on the 5th day. Do I treat the 5th day as period? Because I would make ghusl after I stop bleeding, which is like 2nd day. Well, that's very complicated. It's one of...
It is. If you can tell the sister to message me, if you can send her my email address, because yeah, we need to ask her a few questions. We need to ask her about her cycle. We need to ask her about, you know, there's loads of questions to determine a answer. So tell her to, inshallah, if you pass my... if you pass my Insta handle, if you pass my email address or my WhatsApp number, then inshallah I can ask those questions and clarify.
Okay, inshallah, sure. There was one thing that you mentioned earlier. I just want to make sure I heard it right. The one that you said about qadr, whatever gives qadr is dua, and dua is...
No, sorry. I said that wrong. Dua changes qadar.
Dua changes qadar. Okay. Dua.
So dua is the only thing that will change qadar, that's predestination, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has planned for you. So make lots of dua.
Okay, okay. All right. I'm just scared I got it wrong. SubhanAllah. Okay, alhamdulillah. If there is, sisters, if you have any more questions, you might want to post it right now so that we can just end the session and not take too much of Ustaz's time. There is only one more here. It says here, are we allowed to recite the Quran from based on memorization during our menses?
So if you follow the Maliki Madhab, then yes. The other scholars have a difference of opinion. Some of them said that yes, if it's from memory, that you can recite, but you need to cut it up. So yeah, if you're a teacher and if you will forget it, then you can recite the Quran. Or you can recite it under your breath and just to stay connected.
Okay.
And one thing I want to mention, I'll mention a few opinions actually, which people may benefit from. So, you know, how do you recite the Quran whilst you're on your menses? It's number one, you recite it from memory. So you recite it from memory, but you're just conscious that, you know, I'm on my menses, be careful that you don't touch the mushaf. And that's if you're following the Ahnaf, the Shafi'i, and the Hanbali opinion. There has to be a barrier between you and the Quran, meaning gloves and a cloth. And you can also, Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan, he said you can recite from your phone. And these are like contemporary scholars that have come and given these rulings. And if anybody wants this ruling, it's Sheikh Ibn Taymiyyah. He said that there's nothing in the Sunnah that forbids a woman from reciting the Quran in her menses. But that's an individual opinion. You know, so many sisters, they are very conscious of following their framework because that's what keeps them grounded. As a teacher, we never say to someone, oh, like, you should follow this, you should follow that. We say, okay, first of all, if you follow a madhab, follow your madhab, because we don't want you to become confused. But I'm putting this out there. So in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ibn Taymiyyah says there's no direct commandment and women can recite the Quran. Just make sure you've got that barrier present and you don't touch the Quran whilst you're on your menses.
Just one final one. She's asking, can we make wudu during menses?
Yeah, you can make wudu, but it doesn't purify you. It doesn't really, like, for example, it may be good to stay in the habit. Like, I generally make wudu when I'm reciting the Quran, because I'm just in that habit and I want to respect the Quran in a beautiful way. So yes, you can, and it's a nice thing to do.
Okay, I think that is all, inshallah. I would like just to thank you again, Ustazah, for you taking your time to join us today. May Allah grant you speedy recovery and make things easy for you. I really hope we can have you again, join us again, maybe for another session, maybe after Ramadan, not during Ramadan itself. Maybe we can do, we can cover a book maybe together. Yeah, that's all for today. Jazakallah khair, Ustazah. Take care, and then hopefully we can see you again, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah to everyone.
Jazakallah khair, everyone. I would like to just inform you that during this Ramadan, under Mercy Mission and Charity, right, they are running few programs that is supporting a lot of people that is in need. If you would like to just donate and help out the people that's in need, you can just go to our website www.mercymission.my, or you can donate to the bank account here that I've stated here, the Mercy Mission bank account. Don't forget, we're gonna have another session on Friday, inshallah. That is with Ustaz Ahmad Kamal. He's gonna cover on something more related to our family and what we can do as a family together during Ramadan. That's all, inshallah. Jazakallah, everyone. Assalamualaikum.